नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट। Yesterday we did 15, today we'll do 16. Trastosmyaham kripana vatsala dushahagra samsara chakra kadanad grasatam pranitaha baddha sakarma bhiru shattama tenghri mulam प्रीतोपवर्ग शरणं ह्यसे कदानु। हरिभा गुरु रंग वेलकम टू नॉर्थ कैरोलाइना। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ मोस्ट पावरफुल इनसरमाउंटेबल लॉर्ड हु आर काइंड टू द फॉलन सोल्स, I have been put in the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditioned life? Please repeat after me. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Being in the material world is certainly miserable, but certainly when one is put into the association of asuras or atheistic men, it is intolerably so. One may ask why the living entity is put into the material world. Indeed, sometimes foolish people deride the Lord for having put them here. Actually, everyone is put into conditional life according to his karma. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, representing all the other conditioned souls, admits that he was put into life among the asuras because of the results of his karma. The Lord is known as Kripana Vatsala because He is extremely kind to the conditioned souls. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, the Lord appears whenever there are discrepancies in the execution of religious principles. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata tadatmanam shijamaham. The Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls, and therefore he instructs all of us to return home, back to Godhead. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Thus Prahlad Maharaj expected that the Lord, by his kindness, would call him again to the shelter of his lotus feet. In other words, everyone should be eager to return home, back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. Trasto asmi aham kripana vatsala dushyahogra samsara chakra kadanad grasatang pranitaha baddha shakarma bhi rumashattama te angri mulam Prito apavarga sharanam hiyase kadanu. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? So Prahlad Maharaj is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is admitting that he had been put into this difficult situation. He got his birth in a family of a demon simply because of his past karma. He just recognizes that it is due to his karma that he has been in this difficult situation and had to go through so many difficulties. And Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that Prahlad Maharaj is actually speaking in this way on behalf of all the conditioned souls. All of us, all the conditioned souls in the material nature, have come to the material nature because of our past karma. Sometimes people blame Krishna. If God is there, then why did he put me in this difficulty? Why did he put me in such an undesirable situation? The reason is, he didn't put it. The point is, he didn't put it. We ourselves put into this situation. And when people challenge in this way, why did you do that? How did we come to this material nature and so forth? Then our simple answer is, don't worry about how you came here. Consider how you can get out of here. How you came here is not important. How you're going to get out of here is the main consideration. And going out of here, the process is given. That's what we are broadcasting all over the world. The process is just surrender to Krishna and you'll go back to him. Prahlad Maharaj is making the same point. When I will purify my consciousness and take shelter of your lotus feet. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj here is not speaking for himself. He is speaking on behalf of others. He is already liberated. There is no question of him getting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. He is already situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. Not only he is situated at the lotus feet of the Lord has placed his lotus hands on his head, and as a result of that, he developed his purified spiritual consciousness. And later on we will see the Lord, what to speak of, he is desiring to be at the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord picks him up and places him on his lap, on his right lap, right thigh. So Prahlad Maharaj is not a conditioned soul as such, but again there is some consideration in Haribhakti Vilas. Sanatan Goswami actually is quoting from the scriptures why Prahlad Maharaj took birth in a demoniac family and how did Prahlad Maharaj receive the mercy of Nrisingadev. He is explaining that in his previous life, one day Prahlad Maharaj went out with his girlfriend and on an outing he went out with his girlfriend, and then they located a spot which looked like a ruin, and they cleaned up that ruin and they decided to have some picnic, and they went out together and they cleaned the place and for just spending the time there. But then they got into a fight, and that fight was so terrible that both of them did not eat it. He did, at least he didn't eat anything. I'm sure she also didn't eat anything. And he stayed up the whole night. He was so upset. Now, this place that he that appeared to be like a ruin was actually a temple of Lord Nrisimhadeva. That day that they went out happened to be Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And so on that auspicious day of Nrisimha Chaturdasi, because he cleaned the temple of Lord Nrisimhadeva and he fasted the whole day and stayed up the whole night, as a result of that, Prahlad Maharaj in his next life was born as a devotee of Nrisimhadeva, just because of this good act, this wonderful service he rendered on that auspicious day of Nrisimha Chaturdasi. Clean the temple. Although a ruin, still it is the temple of Lord Nrisimhadeva. He cleaned the temple. He fasted, although not knowingly, unknowingly, with a secondary cause was fasting. The main cause, actually, he fought with his girlfriend and he was so upset that he didn't eat and he didn't sleep that night. So because of that, he received that good fortune of becoming a devotee of Lord Nrisimhadeva. So in this way, we find that always there is a reason behind why something happens to somebody. Nothing happens in this material nature as a chance or accident. Everything has a cause. Everything, every action, every effect has a cause behind it. And there are so many such wonderful instances. Like one classic example about this karmic factor is Bhishma Dev. In his previous life, Bhishma Dev was actually a demigod, one of the Vasus. There are eight Vasus. The demigods have specific numbers, like 12 Adityas, 8 Vasus, 7 Rishis, and so forth. So, Bhishma Dev was a Vasu, and once the 8 Vasus along with their wives were traveling through the space. And when they were flying over Vasishtha's ashram, they saw this beautiful cow, Nandini. Nandini was actually the daughter of Surabhi. And so one of the Vasu's wife wanted to have this cow. Then the other Vasu suggested, look, don't do that. This cow actually belongs to Vasishtha. We cannot take that. And she's very dear to Vasishtha. But this lady kept on insisting, no, I want this cow. So finally they stole the cow. So when, at that time, Vasishtha was not in the ashram, so Vasishtha came back and he found that Nandini was not there. So he sat down in meditation and in his, he was a Trikala Darshi, in his meditation he could see what happened. And he felt that these Vasus, they're demigods, but look how they acted. Their action was not even fit to a demigod. So let them go down to the earth planet and take birth as human beings. So he cursed them. And because you acted in this way, in this abominable way, you lost your right to stay in the heavenly planets. So go take birth in the earth planet as human beings. So when the Vasus got to hear about that, got to know about that, they came running to Vasishtha and begged him, please forgive us. So when they begged and begged, and finally Vasishtha told them that, look, when a word goes out of my mouth, it is bound to become true. This word of mine will happen. There's nothing can change this. So you have to take birth in the earth planet. But if Mother Ganga agrees to become your mother, then right after your birth you'll be delivered. But the one who actually stole the cow, he will have to suffer for a long, long time. He'll have to stay on the earth planet for a long time. Anyway, then the Vasus went to Mother Ganges, begged her. So Ganges said, okay, I will come and become your mother. And Ganga agreed. Now another thing happened. There was a very pious king, Shantanu. In his previous life, he was elevated to the Brahma Loka. And when he was in Brahma Loka, Lord Brahma, at that time, Ganga, Mother Ganga, came there. And with water for Brahma's worship of the Lord. And at that time, her sari got blown away in the wind and got misplaced, and her breast became exposed. And this king, he just kept on looking at her. So Brahma, seeing that, just cursed him, that you are not fit to live in Brahma Loka. So you go down to the earth planet. So that king came down as King Shantanu. But because he desired Ganga, his desire was fulfilled. And that's where Ganga... So another incident which is leading to that, where Ganga came down to earth planet, it was not just Basu's plea, but it was also another incident behind that, what brought her to the earth planet. And she got married to King Shantanu. But when she got married to Shantanu, Shantanu made a condition she made a condition with Shantanu that he would never question her activities and never prevent her from doing what she wanted to do. If he ever does that, then she would leave him. So anyway, eventually Shantanu got married to Ganga. Then a child was born, and right after the birth of the child, Ganga took the child and threw the child in the river. And Shantanu, although his heart just broke in pain, but still he could not question her or prevent her from doing that. And in this way, 7 children were born, and all 7 were thrown in the river. When the 8th one was born, and Ganga was taking the child to the river, Shantanu just couldn't restrain himself. He just said, please, spare this child. Why are you doing it? Why are you killing your own children in this way? Please spare this child. Ganga said, okay, since you wanted me to spare this child, I'll not throw him in the river. He will survive. But since you broke your promise, now I'll go. I'll leave you. So we see the link. It was a curse. And out of the curse, the 7 kind of got released of the curse, that right after the birth they would be delivered. But the 8th one will have to stay on the earth planet. So over there it was a curse, and now here it becomes a benediction. Seven were born and the eighth one survived. And now not only that, Bhishma, when he actually sacrificed to give up his kingdom, he sacrificed everything, and he even took a vow of celibacy, lifelong celibacy, not getting married. Then his father blessed him that you will not die unless you want to. He blessed him for Ichchamrityu, willful death. Only when he wanted to die would he ever die. Otherwise he will not die. So and here we can see like another incident, like how there it was a curse of Vasishtha, and here it became the benediction of his father. You will not die. That means you will live a long, long time. So this is how we can see how karmic reactions are creating these effects. We act in a certain way and the reaction comes in a specific way. So that is the condition of this material nature. And that's the point has been made here by Prahlad Maharaj, that everything is happening by the karmic reaction. The fact that I have taken birth in a demoniac family is a result of my past karma. The way I had been suffering is a result of my past karma. But very mercifully, you have come to deliver me. And you have given me the shelter of your lotus feet. That is your causeless mercy. So that is the attitude of a devotee. Tattena kampa shushumikshamanam bhunjan evatma kritang vipakam. When good things happen, he considers that this is the mercy of the Lord. And when bad things happen, he considers that it's due to my bad karma. Whereas the materialistic people do the other way around. When good thing happens, they want to take the credit themselves. And when bad thing happens, they blame Krishna for that. Why did it happen to me? I remember in Back to Godhead, long time back, there was one article and there was a picture that a butcher is cutting the in his slaughterhouse, while he is cutting whatever it was, he chops off his finger and he exclaims, why did it happen to me? So why do you, that is our thing, like we don't consider all the sinful activities that we are indulging in. But when some reaction comes as a result of our sinful activities, we challenge Krishna. Why did he allow this to happen to me? If God is there, why did it happen to me? When Prabhupada was in Germany, devotees told that the Germans became atheistic. They don't believe in God because they lost so many of their relatives and friends during the war. The whole country was devastated. That's why they don't believe in God. And Prabhupada just commented that when they started the war, did they consult with God? When they started the war, they didn't consult God. But the consequence of the war, when it turns against them, they blame God and become atheistic. But by becoming atheistic, who loses? The one who becomes an atheist, he actually is the loser. He is the loser. Like, if someone gets upset with sun and says, I'll never see the sun, and blinds his eyes. Who is the loser? Does sun get affected by that? No. He himself suffers because of that. He loses his sight. He becomes blind. So similarly, our attitude should be in an appropriate way, being submissive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let us become surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the benefit is that whatever happens, we would recognize that it is ultimately it is due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The other day in the class we were discussing about that point, that when one comes to the platform of devotional service, then we have to understand that whatever happened in the past was simply to bring us to that point. Good or bad, whatever happened was to bring us to this point. And now that I have come to this point of devotional platform, now I found the way and now my life is perfect. That I have come to this perfect path will lead me to the ultimate perfection of my existence. Only thing is that I have to stay on to this path and not deviate. No matter whatever happens, we should not give up this process of Krishna consciousness. That is the important consideration. Yes, some things will be pleasant and some things will be unpleasant in our lives. And this pleasant and unpleasant, ultimately what it is? It's only a matter of our sense gratification, in relation to our sense gratification. Things that are pleasing to our senses, we think it's pleasant. We think it's desirable. Things that are unpleasant to our senses, we think it's detrimental, it's undesirable. Doite bhadra bhadra gyan sab mano dharma. It is only the dharma of the mind, due to the activity of the mind, the functioning of the mind. Desirable, undesirable. Mind is the recipient of the sense perceptions. Mind is the internal sense. And some activities, some happenings are pleasing to the senses and some are unpleasing to the senses. And the mind is accepting and rejecting always. The pleasing activity, pleasing happenings or affairs are desirable, unpleasant affairs are undesirable. But ultimately it's all activity of the mind. But the soul is above the mind. Indriyani param nahur, indriyebha param manah, manashastu parabuddhe, sa paratastu, ja paratastu sah. Beyond gross matter are the senses. Beyond the senses, the mind. Beyond the mind is intelligence, and beyond the intelligence, that is the soul. Beyond the intelligence, that is the soul. And that is the self. So the self is not affected by these inferior things. Self should not be affected by the activities of the mind and the senses. And intelligence is the faculty by which we can decide what is ultimately favorable for our spiritual advancement and which are not. That is the main consideration. That is actually the function of the intelligence. And when that intelligence has become properly situated, that is called buddhi yoga or devotional service. In the material plane, the intelligence is figuring out how to enjoy, how to accept and what to reject and so forth. How am I going to make arrangements for my sense gratification? That is the material functioning of the intelligence. But the ultimate functioning of the intelligence is that it is beyond my... It should engage my lower faculties. That is the mind, the senses, the body, should be engaged in the service of Krishna. And when the intelligence does that, when the intelligence engages the body, mind and words and senses in the service of Krishna, that is called Buddhi Yoga or perfection of intelligence. And that perfection of intelligence, the activity of that intelligence is devotional service. Therefore it is called Buddhi Yoga. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tang. Krishna gives that intelligence. Another way to look at it is, the body has been compared to a chariot. The senses are the horses. The rein is the mind. And intelligence is a chariot driver, charioteer. And the soul is the passenger, sitting on the chariot. Now generally what happens, the intelligence doesn't know how to control the mind. The charioteer doesn't know how to control the horses with the rein. And as a result of that, the chariot becomes uncontrolled and falls in a ditch. But the intelligent thing is to put Krishna in the seat of the chariot here, as Arjun did. Put Krishna in that seat. And that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Our intelligence is not competent enough, capable enough. But Krishna knows how to control us. Therefore surrender to Krishna and let Him drive the chariot. Let Him control the mind, let Him control the senses. He is an expert. He is an expert charioteer. So that is the intelligent thing to do. And when we become engaged in this way, then everything becomes perfect for us. And our life becomes successful. So Prahlad Maharaj, so wonderfully revealing this point, appealing to the Lord. We do not know whether we will be able to control our mind and senses. We do not know whether we will be able to surrender ourselves properly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we just depend upon Krishna. Please, You allow us to become engaged in Your devotional service. Please allow us to become a speck of dust at Your lotus feet. And when we pray with sincerity, then Krishna will respond. Krishna will respond. Krishna will make us, Krishna will engage us in His devotional service. And when we become properly situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, becoming engaged in His devotional service, then not only Krishna will take care of us, but Krishna will lead us back to His loving embrace in the spiritual sky. Does anybody have any question? Yes, good.
This is from Ratna Radhika Dasi. Akura became involved in the conspiracy of the Shamantaka jewel because he offended the residents of Vrindavan. Can you comment on that?
So you said that, like because of his offense to the residents of Vrindavan.
Oh, she said that Akura took Krishna to Mathura because that was Krishna's desire. So how was it that he was involved in karmic reaction?
Oh, I see. Okay. That is not the karmic reaction. The devotees felt hurt, and but ultimately you see, when it comes to Krishna's pastimes, although some karmic reactions are there apparently, but they are actually Krishna's divine arrangement or Yogamaya's arrangement. Like for example, the four Kumaras curses four Kumaras cursing Jai and Vijay. In one hand, it was their own wish that they wanted to give Krishna Narayan the taste of the Virarasa, the mellow of chivalry. Now that mellow could not be experienced in the spiritual sky in Vaikuntha. So they had to, in order to fulfill that mellow, or in order to give Krishna Narayan that opportunity to experience Virarasa, which is derived out of fighting, it had to happen on the material nature. And the arrangement was made like the four Kumaras came and cursed Jai and Vijay. And as a result of that, Jai and Vijay becomes enemy of the Lord in the material platform, so that they could fight with the Lord and give him a taste of mellow of chivalry or Virarasa. So apparently there is a curse, and that is causing that. Similarly, as if it is the curse of the residents of Vrindavan that made Akrura go through this incidence of getting involved in Shamantaka Jural. So we have to, when it comes to Lord's pastimes, we have to see them as the divine arrangement of Jogamaya, which is actually causing that. And all this, there, the predominating factor behind those the pastimes are actually the wish, will of the Lord, desire of the Lord, and arrangement of Jogamaya. And karmic reactions, the apparent karmic reactions or results, are simply just an apparent facade. We can say ultimately even in that pastimes, ultimately even Kamsa, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Jarasandha, they all are devotees of Krishna. They are not enemies. The greatest of the demons, Shishupal and Dantavakra, are Jai and Vijay, two gatekeepers, two associates of the Lord from the spiritual sky. Yes, Rishikesh?
I was just wanted to understand the background of Vishnudev. Although he was a vassal in his previous life, he seemed to become such a great devotee of the Lord. What is the secret?
he fell down, I mean as a curse, came to the material nature, but still he was a devotee. He maintained his devotion to the Lord. Just like Chitraketu became a demon. Vritrasura. But we see, although he is a demon, he is a devotee, such a great devotee of the Lord. Although he is a demon because he became inimical to Indra, that's why he is a demon. But at heart, he is a devotee of the Lord. So this curse doesn't have anything to do with one's devotion. Even though they get cursed, but they, at the depth of their heart, they maintain their devotion to the Lord, because that devotion to the Lord never goes in vain. Whatever one does for the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains there as his eternal asset. There is no diminution or loss. Pratyavayana vidyate salpamapasya dharmasya trayate mahatubhaya. Even a little bit of devotional service is rendered, there is no loss or diminution. Any other question? Yes?
Narasimha Chaturdashi, or the appearance of Narasimha, it was there before Prahlad Maharaj?
Yeah, because in another kalpa, he appeared. And the temple was there, right? From another time. And this time, Prahlad Maharaj just happened to be in that temple. I mean, in the previous kalpa, He was happy, he happened to be in that. And then in this kalpa, he became Prahlad. Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, you were saying that another time, and I was reading this the other day, how Prabhupada explained that pastimes are like the sun rising.
Yeah.
So when they're finishing here, it's already...
another one, another universe it goes on. And yeah, exactly. Like Prabhupada is pointing out, like Krishna's pastimes are like the situation of the sun. Like just as sun, different parts of the planet now has, at this point, just at this point in time, different parts of the planet has different times. Right? Now here it is morning, somewhere it's afternoon, somewhere it's evening, somewhere it's night. The entire span of day is there. Similarly, Krishna's pastimes, like somewhere Krishna is just taking birth, and somewhere Krishna is just killing Putana. At the same time, somewhere Krishna is just playing with his cowherd boys. Sometimes Krishna is dancing at the gopis. Sometimes Krishna is just about to leave Vrindavan. Akrura came to take him. So all these pastimes are happening simultaneously all over. So there are so many universes, and in some universes like ours, Krishna's pastimes are over 5,000 years ago, and we have to wait for another 595 years for Krishna to again come. 8 billion years. Okay. Yes, Mother Krishna Priya.
When we were speaking about karmic reactions and how to fully understand that we're suffering because of karmic reactions or past activities, and at the same time you were speaking about the importance of engaging in pure devotional service yesterday. So is it important for us to try to understand what the mistakes are we made so we learn the lessons?
Well, from the past we may not recall all the mistakes we made, but whatever mistakes we made and whatever mistakes we remember that we made, at least we can rectify them. And in future, all the mistakes that we make, we can rectify them. Like Prabhupada used to say, to make a mistake is not bad, but not to learn from the mistake is intolerable. So we may make mistakes, but learn from the mistakes and rectify those mistakes and never make the same mistake again. Yes.
I noticed that many devotees go into meditation or practice yoga. Is it really conducive for aspiration?
Well, there may be various reasons why they do that, but my simple answer will be, during Prabhupada's times we never did that, and never Prabhupada encouraged us to do that. What's the point in finding about what happened, what I was in the past, what I did in the past? Rather, Bhaktivinod Thakur is saying, forget the past that sleeps. Never future dream at all. Live with the time that are with thee, progress thee shall call. Forget the past. Sometimes I hear devotees, somebody got regressed and found out that he was a king in his past life, or she was a princess in her past life. Very rarely we hear that he was a demon in his past life. I don't know how accurate they are, and besides that, what difference it is. What difference does it make? Why waste your time and money?
Prasadam, that must be an offense because you know the prasadam is conscious. Prabhupada said this is like a sick man. He's lying in the hospital, he's on his last bread, and he's asking about when I get better, how will I dance? Will I dance like this or dance like this? How will this get better?
Right, yes. Yeah, and how in the spiritual sky everything is conscious is beyond our comprehension. No, by speculation you will never be able to understand how everything is conscious in the spiritual sky. Because our concept is simply in relation to the body's consciousness. Right? The body, because we are in a world of unconsciousness. The world of matter. Inert matter. And in that inert reality, some matter are conscious. So from this point of view, to understand how there is another world where everything is conscious is completely beyond us. And that's why Prabhupada used to give the example of a frog in the well. His understanding is only limited to the well, and in relation to the well, he'll never be able to understand what an ocean is. So better to just depend upon being transported to the ocean, and then you'll find what the ocean is like. And not just stay in the well, and in relation to the well, try to understand what the ocean is like. Yeah. Any other question? Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.